The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
In the previous chapters, an analogy is drawn from the humble beginnings of a cast-off child who becomes a normal woman and is nourished by the Lord, namely Jerusalem, becomes this beautiful young woman. But nevertheless, this woman rebels and becomes a harlot and is rejected. But then there is final redemption. And now somewhat the same theme is brought to us then in the 17th chapter, but under a different figure. And the figure that is used is one, I gather, that was not altogether unfamiliar. Namely, there were eagles who would start from a considerable height and would dive with their wings tight to their bodies and grasp hold of the top of a cedar, breaking off by the force of their fall the very topmost part of the cedar, and then they would carry it off. They would carry it off for their own uses. And that figure here is used in connection with Jerusalem, who is likened then to such a cedar tree, and that the eagle then comes, a foreign ruler then comes, an eagle that is full of plumage and a very royal nature, and plucks off the very top of the cedar tree, and that top is taken to the land of merchants, namely to Babylon. And there is planted in a very fertile and a very promising place. But there's something about this cedar tree. You would expect then that it might grow in those circumstances. It might grow then to be a mighty tree, even as the tree from which this branch was plucked. But it does not. Instead, it has a tendency to grow in the direction of the temporal power which has taken it there. It then is influenced by the power, by the authority then of Babylon, and its branches have a tendency to grow along the ground, and it becomes a bush instead of a tree. But then this figure is continued, as it is said, then later on, another eagle comes. And this one represents Egypt. And you are familiar, of course, enough with your Old Testament history to know that Israel was indeed at a crossroads of the nations, and it was constantly beleaguered from Egypt to the west, and then also from its powerful neighbors to the east. And when it was beleaguered from the east, it would look sometimes for refuge, for help, for defense to the hordes, as they are described here, of Egypt. Well then, this tree begins to grow as a bush in that direction. Because what has happened is that the Babylonian authorities have come into Jerusalem, and they have taken the king into exile, and they have put a vassal king in his place. And this vassal king has made a covenant with Babylon, but nevertheless begins to be pulled in the direction of Egypt and seeks refuge, for defense by way of making a league by making a covenant with Egypt and breaking the covenant with the rulers of Babylon. Here is a picture of force and violence. Here's a picture of the influence of authority, and a picture in parabolic form of the tendency of so many to reach out in the direction of power, to be conformed then to that, instead then of being true to themselves, being true to the Lord. But as so often, we can look at the world, and everywhere we look, we see things that can thoroughly discourage us. And yet, even in the announcement that was made this morning about the conflict, apparently, that is beginning to take place in our city between the Jews for Jesus and the mainline Jewish community. What do we see? I believe that we see the Lord's hand in it. We see that we can propose about how things are going to happen, and yet God in His providence, God has His way, God will have His means about carrying out His purposes. And as this parable is being spoken, as this analogy begins to unfold here in the 17th chapter of Ezekiel, one of the main refrains, as it is also in the earlier chapters, is that I, the Lord, have spoken, that this is going on, this is transpiring by the authority of God, this is the disposition of God in all this. Now, there are certain very favorite refrains, of course, in evangelicalism, also in our Reformed community. There's one that we have heard many a time, I'm sure, that man proposes and God disposes. Sort of a proverb, one that is known to us, but a great deal of truth in it. And we find this also, that Israel, in its worldly wisdom, was moving out and seeking to solve its problems, you might say, in a vertical direction, being then sucked up into the power struggles of his time. But in this, God is speaking, and he says, this is what I have done, and this is what I am going to do. And he also gives a vertical perspective, we might call it, to the agreements which are then transacted among men. Because apparently the vassal king has made a treaty, he has made an agreement, he has extended his hand and has entered into agreement with the authorities in Babylon, and yet he is playing around with Egypt in the background. And God issues a judgment in this situation. But one thing I want you to notice is that God also says, this is my covenant that you made with Babylon. In the New Testament, of course, the Apostle Paul says, even though it is a man's covenant, no one disannuls it. How much more then will the covenant of God stand sure? Well, you see, God then is saying this is his covenant, and that first of all, man must be faithful to God, faithful to him, in God's disposing over all things, and that he should not then simply move out in his attention, be sucked up, you might say, into the power struggles of this world. Give his attention to that, forgetting that it is God who is in his authority and his sovereignty who is behind all things, and that we answer first of all to the Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. If I were to give a bit of a homely motto, you might say, for this entire talk. I might say that one of the lessons we can learn from it is that we should stand tall for Jesus Christ. Stand tall for Jesus Christ. Because, you see, that's what this cedar branch did not do. It grew out horizontally. It did not stand tall. It was representative of leaders who forgot the Lord, who forgot that He is the one who has controlled all things, and that His covenant stands firm, and that He stands behind even the covenants that are legitimate between men. But there is one final lesson that we have here, a lesson that is a repetition of that of the earlier chapter. In all this, God says that He Himself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. He is not going to plant it by the rivers. He is not going to plant it where you might find the trees along the banks of a stream in this very arid type of country. But He's going to take it on top of a high mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. The Lord, in His sovereignty, is going to provide the way. The Lord, in His sovereignty, is going to provide redemption. He is going to take His own shoot and He will plant it, and that will not be a bush. It will not represent a state of mind where we are sucked into the power struggles, where we think simply horizontally, but it will be a cedar tree that lifts its branches to the heavens and that grows tall. We're faced with this kind of decision all the time. We are called to live in wisdom. In our wisdom, we must be able to get along with our fellow students. We must be able to get along with our fellow faculty members. We must be able to get along in our community. We must seek to be good citizens and many things. We do that, of course, and according to the will of God, but we have to act in wisdom in all these things. But there's this perspective that we may never lose sight of. That in all this, first of all, we are to stand tall. We are to stand tall for Jesus Christ and realize that in all things in our lives, it is God who disposes. No matter how much we calculate how things may turn out, how much we seek then to form events and to carry out our plans, we must be ready constantly to listen to what God has to say to us through His Word, through the Word of the prophet, but also then to help us ourselves to grow as a great tree. And not only that, but to see really in this figure an adumbration of that redemption which is in Jesus Christ, and that if we stand tall for Him, we can do that only because He is the one who has put all things under His feet, and in the last days will deliver all things to the Father, that God may be all in all.